This is Learned It From an 80s Song. I am your coach, Patricia Freiberg. This is I Love the 80s meets the healing of storytelling and the positive impact of music. Inspiring guests share their powerful stories, yielding incredible strengths. Through both story and music, this podcast will elevate your mood, providing you with a positive outlook. It will ignite recall so that you can tap into your own life experiences. We don't just hear the knowledge and wisdom gained from our podcast guests. Through powerful story, we can live it. Welcome to International Women's Month at Learned It From an 80s Song, where we are celebrating the accomplishments of women all month long. Today, we are honored to introduce Dr. Cree Scott. She is the founder and CEO of Serenity Psi Consulting. She's a trailblazer with over 15 years of experience in consulting psychology, executive coaching, and clinical practice. Dr. Scott's expertise in leadership development and change management is unparalleled. She offers tailored solutions that align with strategic business objectives, comprehensive program evaluations, and coaching methodologies to optimize performance. With a talent for uniting stakeholders around visionary strategies and meeting the diverse needs of a multi-generational clientele, Dr. Scott's innovative approach has solidified her reputation as a leader in the field, consistently delivering impactful results. Dr. Scott, it is so great to see you and to have you here today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I want to just take a moment to see, how do I know Dr. Scott? I got the privilege of seeing her speak at Wahasu last year, and then she also helped with us coach facilitators as well. She was a leader among that. So between seeing her speak and seeing her as a leader among us coaches, it has been such a pleasure to meet you and to get to know you last year during Wahasu, the World Happiness Summit, which took place in the most beautiful place of Lake Como. That was pretty awesome.
It was very awesome. And I got to meet so many people, including you. And it was a really, really energizing space to be in. So I was really happy to be there.
Yes. And this is through this experience, there was such a beautiful synergy that was there and energy among us and facilitating you as one of the facilitators for the coaches helping us. We had a very cohesive team, a group of women. And men, there were some men in it. But from this, Abby Kerwin, she had this idea that we should all write a chapter and publish a book. And guess what? 1 year later, just 1 year, and getting 17 women together to do something. You know how busy women are. But somehow all 17 authors were able to put out our chapters. It's gotten edited. It is produced and it is coming out on March 8th. So the name of the book is called The Happiness of Coaching. So it's inspiration from some of the world's happiest coaches. And this all came from the World Happiness Summit last year at Lake Como. I can't wait to read your chapter. And you have an amazing foreword, as I understand it, as well.
Yes, I had a really awesome time writing the foreword because it's all about happiness and how all of these coaches, including yourself, have been able to really hone in on what's important about coaching, not only to themselves, but to the clients that they serve. And it is just a really phenomenal book. So I can't wait to read it. And I'm looking forward to getting it out there to everyone so that they can have it as well.
Yes. And what better way to have Dr. Cree Scott here today to kick off International Women's Month. And this book is coming out on March 8th, which is the International Women's Day.
Yes, absolutely. It's exciting.
So, yes. Thanks for kicking it off for us here this month.
Yes, I'm excited and pumped.
Yes. And with that, this is a great time. Speaking of pumped, this is a great time to introduce your song of the day. So without further ado, Dr. Scott, what is the song that best resonates with the story that you're going to share with us today? Can I get a drum roll, please?
Love it.
What is your song, Dr. Scott?
It is Eye of the Tiger. And I really feel like that pretty much sums up a lot of who I am and where I've been.
Yes. And I can't wait. And I have seen your notes and your story. So I can't wait for the audience to get to hear your powerful and inspirational story. Before we get there, I want to share just a few little tidbits about the song that you chose, Eye of the Tiger. Everyone knows it. All you have to do is think in your head, dun 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 dun, and you know what song it is. It is the most recognizable beat, and it has that energy because it was the theme song of Rocky III. And this song was written and recorded by American rock band Survivor. It was specifically created as a theme song for Rocky in 1982. So this also was a Grammy Award winner. The song has a massive commercial success, which we know. I mean, this song came out in 1982. I'm not going to sit here and do the math with you, but that was a long time ago.
Yes.
Listening to the song, it just makes you want to get up and just fight and in a positive way, fight for survival. Yes. And this song did hit number one, by the way, in the United States on the Billboard Hot 100. And it's inspirational. It has instant recognition. It's also had a cultural impact. Beyond its association with Rocky, Eye of the Tiger has permeated pop culture and has been featured in many films, TV shows, commercials, sporting events, and is a staple of classic rock radio. Thank you for bringing in this song and to kick off International Women's Month. But what's most important, as we know with this podcast, is why it resonates with you and what is the story that goes along with this theme song for you, Dr. Scott?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I feel like the song is really rooted in just resilience and perseverance. And for me, I would say that throughout my entire childhood and life, I have been able to be resilient and get through some very difficult times. And the one that stands out for me that I shared with you was going through breast cancer. There are other things as well, but breast cancer was probably the biggest thing because it was the thing that kind of had me thinking about mortality, which you never have to think about otherwise. And in order to get through that, it was really important for me to keep my eye on the prize, right? Like which is life and living and living a healthier life. And so I really do feel like going through the stages that I had to go through to get on the other side of my health was really, really important. And so my family was a huge support system, but it was also my internal way of being that kind of allowed me to get to where I am post cancer. So.
Wow. I just want to say it's amazing your resilience and perseverance and your survivorship. And thank God you're here today with us. And as I understand it, your daughter was only 2 at the time of diagnosis.
Yeah, it was real. And actually, she was probably the biggest driving force for me to fight in the way that I did. It was just kind of like I have a baby. I have this human that I need to raise. And I want to be here for her. And you're a mom. And so you know that the love that you have for your children is like no other. Like I don't love anyone else the way that I love her. And it's not to say that I don't love anyone else, but it's the depth that I feel is really, really deep. And so I really wanted to make sure that I came out on the other side of this for her. I wanted to be a mom for her. I wanted to be able to raise her and be there for her and see her do all of the milestones that you see your girl do. So I am really grateful to the universe, to God, to whomever is out there, right? Whoever you believe in. I'm really grateful to being here each and every day. So I would say that part of my journey was also to become a lot more spiritual and a lot more grounded and trying to really be a better version of the person that I was pre-breast cancer. So breast cancer really did like take its toll, but it opened up another world for me that I hadn't quite tapped into fully yet.
Yes. Wow. Such a powerful story that you're bringing in, Dr. Scott. And I have a lot of thoughts in my head right now, especially around the resilience that you had talked about in that moment where you wanted to just to be there for your daughter, to see all of those milestones, that drive to survive. And then also looking at how even your perspective change as far as your mindset as well. And I wonder, did it happen for you? Did it happen gradually, like over time, or was it like an epiphany moment, or was it a few of those? Like, how was that for you in the process?
It was definitely a gradual thing, but if anyone has gone through something like this, you kind of know that you need something higher to hold on to. And it can't just be something secular. It needs to be something more spiritual. And for some people, that's religion, but I've never been a religious person. I believe in God, but I'm not the go to church every Sunday type of person and so forth. So for me, I needed something to hold on to, something to believe in. And I needed an anchor, if you will, to know that I can get through this. And that was where spirituality came from. So it really happened over time. But it was something that my logical mind knew I needed. It was really weird because logically I was just like, if I were to just kind of sit out here in this by myself, I wouldn't have gotten through it. Like I needed that grounding and the North Star. Like it serves as an anchor and my North Star. And when I think about spirituality.
Wow. That's very profound. And to have, like you had said, spirituality is not necessarily about a specific denomination. It's really your relationship with the beyond or with God, with that outside yourself, outside of this realm that we're in. And in those moments, did you find yourself with spirituality going back to kind of like your early years of religion? Or did you find yourself finding a new kind of relationship? How was that for you? Both?
Yeah. Both. So I will tell you, and I have a friend, a very close friend, Karen Todd, who is my, I guess, spiritual friend and peer, if you will. And we talk a lot about spirituality often. So one of the things that I always try to tell people is that spirituality is not a practice, or maybe it's not only a practice. How about that? It is a way of being. And part of the way of being is it's really easy to get on a different path. It can be a conversation of someone who you feel has done something to wrong you. It can be just a frustrating situation in general or whatever stressor comes your way. And so part of spirituality is the practice. That's the practice part of it, where I have to have it in front of me on a really day-to-day basis. And I find that when I'm not feeding myself the fruits of spirituality, then I end up kind of swaying back and letting the ego take over. Mm-hmm. And the ego needs to be right. The ego edges God out. The ego does all the things that kind of takes you away from spirituality and the connectedness to outside of you, because the ego is self-centered. And so for me, I have to constantly think about ways to go deeper, go different into being more connected to spirituality. So I read a lot of books, I listen to podcasts, I do walking meditation. I'm not really good with sitting and meditating because my brain doesn't allow that, but I walk and meditate. And sometimes I just try to sit in silence for at least like 5 or 10 minutes, and sometimes longer if it'll let me, if my mind will let me. But it's really about being intentional and purposeful. Like in order for me to get to where I am today, there was a lot of meandering. So it didn't look like a straight shot, like, oh yeah, I was deep into spirituality. No, not right away. And even not today, right? Like, I think that I'm always evolving and I'm never there. Sometimes I get little glimpses of being there and I'm like, ooh, I feel it. I get it. And yet there's still so much to do. There's still so much to do because the ego, at least my ego, is very, very strong, and not in the egotistical way, but in the I need to be known for who I am and I need to have a voice type of way. The ego wants to speak all the time. And so it's me trying to quiet that and connect more with outside of me and whatever the inner God that is inside of me, inside of that, to the soul, not to the ego.
Yes. Oh, I have so many thoughts. My mind is a little blown right now. But yes, because I find that when I'm connecting to spirituality and God, I'm a believer in God. I grew up Catholic. I would say it's hard for me to, I have a hard relationship with Catholicism. I think most Catholics do, if you're listening, but I do have a relationship with God. And what's fascinating to me about spirituality is that it is about, and I love the way you put it with the ego, and it is about seeing perspectives, seeing beyond yourself, and it's altruism, right? And it's seeing the world, the collective. I feel like the emphasis comes away from you, like you were saying, and more looking at a higher purpose in our sense, and not like, oh, I need to accomplish this, 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 and this, and I tick all these boxes, and this makes me a good human. It makes me accomplished. It makes me this, me, right? But then it's like, what do I really want to do? I want to create impact. I want to give back. I feel this strong sense of legacy. And the only way I can tap into that is if I have a spiritual, and sometimes that's, to me, that's getting out in nature and just seeing the world. I mean, nature is something that, wow, it's powerful. It really brings you back to, we are just a tiny little speck on this giant planet and beyond. And so many people have walked before us, and also connecting to ancestry, like in my head, the loss of my dad just before COVID. And I still feel that loss to me connected me more to spirituality as well. I was with him when he passed. And I feel that that is something that I take with me now also. Like I talk to him, and talking to him is going outside of me and this world and this realm.
Yes. That resonates with me so much, because part of my spiritual journey is what I try to do. And again, like, this does not happen every single day, but in the days, in my best days, when I am really being the best version of myself, I'm not just connecting to the person, I'm connecting to the soul of that person. Right. And so it's much better. It's a much better interaction. It's a much easier way to gain connectivity. It's a much easier way to see past whatever the human is giving you, because sometimes we're a product of our past and our situations. And so, but when you can connect to someone on a soul level, you can really get past all of the angst or whatever is in between the two humans, so that you can get in a space where you can live in harmony. And so that's kind of like, when I am the best version of myself, that's when I know that I'm connecting in the way that I want to be connecting.
Yes. You bring up a really interesting subject, because now I'm thinking about how much we need this in our world, how much we need that in the United States, living in Switzerland and following my country, my homeland, right? And, you know, how important it is now to get beyond that minutia in between the noise, and just come in. So much noise. Human to human, like human being to human being. And I don't know what it would take. I think you and I having this conversation and others listening, I think that's one way of this conversation of like, can we work a little harder on this spirituality? Not necessarily believing in change, whatever religion or whatever you believe in, but it's really just like you were talking about, being outside of ourselves and really looking at it from more of an altruistic perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So interesting. I love this conversation. We could keep going and going, but I will, because I have so many thoughts and it's so fascinating, your story and your story of perseverance and resilience. And how many years now has it been for survivorship?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. It's been about 8 years. And I say about because I had breast cancer before I got diagnosed with it, right? And so I just don't think anyone knew it. And so I was diagnosed finally, even though the journey started in September of 2014, I was diagnosed in 2015. So, and then I was treated, finally fully treated by the end of that year. But then other stuff continued to happen, which is a much longer story than I would get into on this podcast. The idea is that, yeah, it's been some time. And I'm just, again, I am grateful for every single day. Even when I'm having a bad day, I'm grateful for being able to film a bad day, right? Like, I'm just grateful. So That is one thing that I do say every day, like, oh, thank you, God, for letting me wake up today, or thank you for letting me have this bad day. At least I'm here to experience it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That really puts things in perspective. What's fascinating is as we're looking at the Via Strengths, which we talk about on the show, which is rooted in positive psychology, developed by Seligman and Peterson, and it's 24 character strengths that are who you are to your core, are your signature strengths. Those are strengths that you'll feel when you're using them light you up. And everyone has between 3 and 7 of your signature strengths that are true to you. If you haven't taken the Via Strengths, I highly recommend it. And with Dr. Scott's permission, I can read hers off. I think you guys will completely understand. When I read them off, you'll be like, oh, ding, ding, ding. So guess what number one is, audience? I wish you could talk to me, but it is number one is, guess what? Spirituality. Spirituality is number one. But before I dive into number two, let me talk to you about what Via Strength spirituality is, because I think that's an important. It's connected with sacred life. And it's also as small, life is small amidst the grand. So that's kind of the essence of it. And this is from Dr. Nemec's book, Character Strengths Interventions. So if you are really into this, definitely check out his book. Also, you feel a sense of higher purpose and meaning in spirituality, where you fit within a larger scheme. And you heard Dr. Scott say exactly through that. It's linked to compassion, altruism, volunteerism, and philanthropy as well. And so this is spirituality. And I know you've heard her speak of this, and you can see how it would be in her top strengths.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's so funny that you were asking about the Via Strengths, because it's something that, number one, it's free. So anyone out there can take it. So it's a free assessment to take. But I use it in my executive coaching. So whenever I'm coaching with someone, I have them do either the Via Strengths or the Strengths Finder. The Strengths Finder has a fee attached to it. So I usually do the Via Strengths unless it's included. And so what I find is that it really does speak to the essence of a person. And I love it. And of course, I love Dr. Seligman and all the work of positive psychology and all of that. So I had an opportunity to meet him at the Wahasu in Miami. So I will tell you that he is just the most gentle human in the world. So, but yes, I love the Via Strengths, and spirituality is my number one. And it's not me just answering questions just so that it can be my number one. It's how I really feel. It's how I move about life. It's who I am. It's who I aim to be. And I will stay on that journey until I'm no longer on the journey.
Yes, absolutely. That's fantastic. And I concur with you on Dr. Seligman, because when I was at the Positive Psychology Congress in Vancouver, he was there, and I had won his books at a raffle, and he had signed them and donated them, obviously, for the cause. And then I won. And there was this line that was, I mean, it was so long to get to talk to him and get a picture, but I had his book and it was signed by him. I thought, you know what? I'm going to have a fangirl moment, and I'm going to wait in this line and I'm going to get my picture taken. And you would not believe just how generous he was with each person that came to talk to him. And he really authentically, he is positive psychology in every sense, like, and just the care that he took with each person and wanting to know a little bit about each person. And anyway, so I just 100% agree. And I feel very fortunate that I had the opportunity to meet him and get his books.
Yes. Awesome person. Awesome human.
Human. Yes. So, all right. So moving forward, guess what number two is? It is gratitude. So we heard Dr. Scott talk about how grateful she is, no matter what the day is. If it's a bad day, she's just grateful to be having a bad day. So she comes in with this beautiful gratitude every single day. Then we've got curiosity and love of learning. Those are often linked together. So people who have love of learning often have curiosity nearby in their strengths. That is true of mine. My number one is love of learning. And then curiosity falls at number 6, I believe, or 5 or 6. So it's close in there. And then we go into hope. And hope is a beautiful strength to have. And I imagine that you had to exercise that muscle, that strength muscle, thankfully it was easy and accessible for you because it is in your top strengths. However, I imagine you utilize that quite a bit through your process.
Yeah, absolutely. I use hope. I am a hopeful person. And I think for me, it's natural. It's where I go to, but it's probably more linked to the fact that I'm always like in the future. So I have to do a lot to stay in the present. Like I'm always kind of just like, okay, Cree, stay in the present. You've read the book Eckhart Tolle.
The Power of Now.
Yeah, The Power of Now. Like, you stay here. It is really hard for me. I'm in the future all the time. And one of the things that I practice when I find myself going into the future because I can become anxious is to think about all the great things that could happen instead of all the things that I have to do or all the things that could go wrong or whatever. The practice for me, the intention behind it is if I find that I am going to be in the future, then it needs to be either written down so that the anxiety will come out, or it needs to be thought of in a that it all came out in a positive way. So people talk about manifestation and all of that. I don't really know if manifestation is true or not. But what I do believe is that if you can see your dreams, if you can see your future in a positive way, you're more likely to get there versus if you kind of look at it in a daunting way. So it's probably in line to all the other books that I've read too, but I call it in my reality, in my way of being, it truly is just, if you can choose a way to be, then be the way that makes you feel good, not the way that makes you feel bad.
Yes, yes. And for those that may not have hope in their top strengths, one thing that works really well for hope and cultivating hope, if it's in your lesser strengths, would be using one of your signature strengths to tow it up. So let's say I've got love of learning in my top strengths, and I think hope is probably somewhere in the middle for me. And let's say I need to lean into hope. Well, what I would do is I would probably go and study everything there is to know about hope because I have a love of learning. And that's what's so fascinating to me is that, like, yes, we may not be able to access these as easily. And some people may feel, gosh, it's hard to be optimistic. But looking at your signature strengths and finding a way, especially in times when you really need it. And like you, to your point, Dr. Scott, with hope is that it really does. It's kind of like a bi-directional relationship. So like the more open you are, the more hopeful you feel, the more hopeful you feel, the more open you are to opportunities. So they almost kind of like this openness and hope, they work together. I think it's a beautiful example, Dr. Scott, of what you've brought in regarding hope, and especially as it relates to your story.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what's really fascinating is as I'm looking, because I have these post-it notes, that's my process. I'm sticking to it. I know some people might have all these fancy screens and stuff, but I got post-its. I got post-its everywhere. That as I'm looking at all the post-its in front of me, what's interesting is that you're seeing meaningful life comes up on all of the strengths that you have. Purpose comes up in many of the strengths you have, which are in transcendence. Three of your top strengths are in transcendence. And then also I'm seeing work is calling comes into gratitude, comes in under gratitude. Oftentimes people with gratitude in their top strength, they also have work as a calling. I'm wondering how, with your experience, and you have so much experience, as I talked about in your introduction, how do you find that? Do you find your work as a calling, or tell us a little bit about your work and your process?
Yeah. So I am a clinical psychologist by trade. And so everything that I do is really, that is the basis for the work that I do. But then I switched over about maybe 14, 15 years ago into consulting. And it was almost like by happenstance, because I didn't plan it. Like I didn't go into clinical psychology to become a consultant. Otherwise, I would have been an industrial organizational psychologist, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, it was through coaching and things of that sort to kind of get me to see myself differently. But when I got into all of the work that I was doing in corporate America, I just kind of realized that while I had an opportunity to do some of the things that I loved doing, there was a lot of the things that I didn't love to do. Mm-hmm. And there was also this undertone of the bottom line and the return on investment for every single thing, right? Like in order to do some of the work that I wanted to do, sometimes there wasn't a clear line of bottom line profits for it, even though we know based on research that there is, sometimes leaders have a hard time kind of seeing it. And so that's the work of DE&I, that's the work of employee well-being and human sustainability, all of those things, which is where I shine, because that is the basis for everything that I do, is psychology and positive psychology at that. So I'm really into, like, if you can really get those things in place in a really good way, then you will see a return on your investment. However, that's really hard to show. So I stayed in corporate America for as long as I could. And then 3 years ago now, oh my goodness, it's like, it seems like time is flying. 2.5 years, I don't know. In December of 2021, I left the company that I was with for 10 years. And it was the hardest decision I've ever had to make, because I wasn't going into it to start a business. I was leaving a space to just be quiet. I was so exhausted and so burnt out and so in a space where I was afraid that I was going to go back to breast cancer or some other thing, right? And I was just like, I'm not healthy. I'm not doing well. And one of the things that I promised myself, because I was diagnosed with breast cancer while I was at this place, at this company, and they were phenomenal, by the way. Like, they were like, take off as much time, you have benefits and all the great things. And yet there were little times in between those 10 years where there was a lot of stress. And so one of the things I promised myself along the way is that if I find myself getting to a place of stress where I feel sick, then I need to figure out the next steps. And so it happened, and I was getting burned out. And no, I was burned out. I was pretty burned out. And I knew that I just needed a break. So I asked my husband, I said, hey, is it okay if I just take off a month or two? And I ended up kind of, we talked about it a little bit more. And I was like, let's do 3 months. And it was just to be quiet, just to do nothing at all. It wasn't to go and start a business. And so one of the things that I ended up doing while I had that quiet space is just kind of think about, I'm a dreamer. I love to dream. And I'm like, what if? What could be? All the things, like, how could this be? What could you be doing? Because in my mind, it was going to be another job, right? Like, I'm like, if you could come up with the best job in the world. And I started writing all these things down. I still have that list to this day. And I started looking for jobs. And I was just like, okay, only part of this job is part of what I want to do within this job. And then there's all these other things. His job descriptions these days are like 3 or 4 pages. Yeah, I know. Like, what happened to, like, this is your responsibility. It's not exactly. Like, page and turn the page. So I'm like, I don't want to do these other 3 pages. And so then a vendor that I had worked with in the past had reached out, heard that I was leaving Deloitte, and said, hey, we just want a big contract with Deloitte. Would you be willing to come in as a subcontractor on this project? And because of who it was for and with, I said, yes, 100%. And so when I stopped, when I resigned, the universe, God, whatever people want to call it, opened up a door immediately. Like, it didn't even take, I hadn't even 100% resigned yet, like, or left. Like, I was in my last 2 weeks. I had just started my 2 weeks and I got this offer, and it was in a space of well-being.
Wow. And
I want to do the work that I want to do, the things that I wrote down is well-being, DE&I, leadership development, and a space of human centered leadership development. So, because it's all the things about how do we stay connected to the human. And so it was the first thing that came out of me resigning. And I was just like, huh, very interesting. And then I told my husband, I said, I think I'm going to, like, do a part-time consulting L&D business just to kind of see what happens. And then I'll still look for a job, but I'm going to see what happens. And Patricia, I never needed to look for a job. It's just like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Do that and stay true to that. So Jay Shetty talks about, like, staying true to your purpose a lot. And so as long as I stay true to what my purpose is, I kind of feel like the universe creates the miracles for me, because I have done no business development. I mean, I do things like podcast and I do other marketing type of things, but I don't do any cold calling or reaching out to people that I don't know. Like, everything for my business has been referral based or business partnerships. Mm-hmm. And I, in particular, feel like this is a calling from the universe, from God, saying, do this. Now, if you stray off, I don't know if I can help you, but here is where I want you to be. If you stay here, I'll keep work coming for you. And so that's kind of where I've been.
Wow. And I'm still looking at it through the lens of the Via Strengths. And when you were said, I'm a dreamer and this is what I would like to do. And that's that hope coming through. And then hearing you talk all about work is calling and have meaning, deep meaning and purpose, that's in spirituality. And I just think it's so interesting. And what an amazing career path that you are at this point where you are right now. And who knows? And now you're doing this big job of LinkedIn learning for leaders too.
That's right. I have a LinkedIn learning course around facilitating. It's really around facilitating safe space conversations, but that is not the title of it. The title is something different that I always forget because it wasn't the title that I wanted, but it's okay. It's facilitating, I think, safe, authentic communications as a leader. I think that's the name of it. But you can find it on my LinkedIn page. And it is really around like how to communicate well with other humans and have those conversations that are difficult in a really constructive way. Because a lot of leaders find themselves wanting to have a conversation, but not sure how to have it. And so I give scripts. I give a lot of pointers. There's a lot of handouts that you can use and take with you and get yourself prepared for that so that you don't feel like you're trying to do it by yourself. So I'm in the room with you.
Yes, that's fantastic. And I think that a lot of times when difficult conversations need to happen, having been in management, you're afraid of doing it wrong. And I think that's what stalls people from, there's what the company wants you to deliver, there's who you are as a person, how you have what you think you need to deliver. And then there's also that human aspect of how best to deliver and have this conversation, and yet still tick all these boxes that you have to somehow tick. And so really outstanding. And audience, it's going to be in the show notes. So I'm going to put the link directly in there so you can access this work. So on LinkedIn. So that's fantastic. So honestly, Dr. Scott, I could talk to you probably all day long. I really enjoy our conversations and I really appreciate your time today. One question I have is I'd like the audience to listen and I like to give an action item, like something that we can all work toward. What would be your key action item for our audience?
Yeah, it's funny because I think I wrote something and I don't really remember what I wrote and when we were communicating with one another. But one of the biggest, easiest things, and I did this also when I was at ASU, there's two things that I think about is it's really when we're talking about connecting with people, one of the things is helping people feel seen, heard, and understood. And in doing that is just really to take the time out to be with them in the present moment, not judge them and truly do an act of kindness. Sometimes that act of kindness is just giving them 5 minutes of your time with full contact, eye contact, and no computers, no dings on your phone, no nothing, right? But to really be able to connect with people in that way. It also might be just taking someone's groceries in for them. If you see them struggling, it could be opening the door and just saying, how are you today? It's good to see you. It could just be a thank you in the workplace. We don't do enough of that as leaders. Like we don't say thank you enough and job well done. And specifically what the person did well. So I say acts of kindness so that you can really help a person feel seen, heard, and understood.
Beautiful. Yes, I love that. And being here in Switzerland, the most important part for me is that when I go to the market or wherever, I make eye contact and I say, Grüezi, wie geht es dir? And I will ask, like, that's all, I don't know, I'm not super advanced in German, but just to know enough to have a little bit of small talk and say thank you and have a nice day or evening or weekend or whatever it might be. And I think that just that, like you had said, just that acknowledgement goes a long way in that human connection, that they're not just scanning groceries for you. It's like you are a human who is got a job and I'm going to connect with you because I just think that we lose sight of that sometimes. And I don't want to get to that point again where I lose sight of that either. I'm sure when life got busy and I was taxed and I was all in my head thinking about what I need to do next. And I wasn't even acknowledging the person in front of me because of that. And I'm like, that was a never again for me. Like if that's a warning sign, if I'm not connecting with a human that's in front of me.
Yes. You said a word that triggers me is that busy. And I have tried my best to not to take the word out of my vocabulary, not to say that I wouldn't say it to someone else if that's how they resonate with the word, but because busy means disconnected. And so now I say I want to be engaged in everything that I'm doing, like fully present and engaged. And that means that I can't be busy because I'm fully engaged in what I'm doing right now. So I'm not too busy. And if I need to take some time out to be engaged in something else, then I need to make sure that I'm closing something over here to be engaged over here. So I always say with my daughter, like, because she's kids, they don't really care what you're doing. They're like, me, 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 right? And so
yes.
I'm always saying, let me finish being engaged here so that I can give you my full undivided attention. And she appreciates that a lot more than me just kind of saying, what do you want? And then going back to what I'm doing. So it's important for me to be engaged and not busy.
Yes, you bring up such a great point. And I think this is a great action item for all of us as really looking at how we spend our time and how we connect with others. And when we're with a human, other human, to really acknowledge that they're there with us. And not only it will make them feel good, but it's actually will make you feel good too in the process. In fact, it will even create a ripple effect when others, by bystanders.
That's right. That's right.
So the best way to get a hold of you, Dr. Scott, would be how?
So the easiest way is if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, because you can send me a direct message. And so I know you're going to provide my LinkedIn handle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other way is if you're interested in connecting with me via email, the best way is to go to my website, www.serenitypsyhealth.com. And there is a contact page and you can put in your information and it'll come to my company and then I will be able to respond in that way. So there's two different ways. If you want to get me quickly, LinkedIn is on my phone. So I see it as if it's a text message. So that's probably the easiest. But if you want to send an email and you have more to say, then definitely feel free to contact me on my website through my contact page.
Super. And those will both be in the show notes, everybody. So this is the part of the show which I always have to like eagerly wait for, even though I love everything that we've talked about so far. But can we talk a little bit about 80s trends? And maybe what were some of your favorite memories of 80s trends? Or I know what you have written down here, and if you need any help, I can help prompt you. But what do you remember?
So I'm an 80s, I was born in 76, so I am an 80s baby. So everything about the 80s was great.
Yes.
So I'm just like, what are you talking about? Actually, the 80s and 90s were probably both of my time that I remember the best in terms of trends. And I really got into some trends. I don't remember specifically what I wrote down because I was probably just pulling things that came to mind. But I remember like the leg warmers and the leg warmers that had like the things on the stirrups on the bottom.
Yeah.
We have things now, right? But then there was they weren't leg warmers, sorry. They were almost like a leotard, but they had the stirrups on the bottom.
Stirrup pants. Yes.
Yeah, stirrup pants. And then I would put leg warmers over them. I just did a lot. I had the hair. Funny enough, for one Halloween, I dressed up as an 80s person. It wasn't an 80s party, but that's what I decided to do. So I remember the 80s pretty well, but the hair, the one ponytail over to the side, the bright colors, a lot about the 80s is really what I remember to be like good times.
Good times and bright colors. And I felt like, and it could have been the age because I'm a little older than you are, but also I was an 80s baby and in the sense, and I was thinking about, it was like, it felt like an age of possibility. Like there's just so much new music and MTV and all these amazing things coming out and headphones. Like I remember my first time wearing a Walkman and I was so distracted by having the sound in my ears that I forgot to put my pants on. And I remember walking out, I was at a friend's house and she's like, Trisha, I was like, oh,
I love it.
I was listening to the head. I was listening to Billie Jean and forgot to put my pants
That's
on.
Right. I love that.
And but that was just so many new things. Yeah. And then also you put down Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Obsessed.
Do you remember like watching the news and like Walmart, people were like a stampede to get a Cabbage Patch doll.
They were sold out for a very long time. Yeah. I didn't get it the first time around. I'll tell you that. My mom was just like, why do you want this ugly doll?
Yes. So
I was like, yeah, it's beautiful. What do you mean?
Yes. My sister got one. Because I'm a few years older than you. But I remember my sister getting one and loving it. I had a pound puppy and I love my pound puppy. Those were really fun. I mean, they were just, and you also put down here the jingle for Toys R Us.
Yeah. So I still sing that with my daughter and she knows all the words too, because Toys R Us is no longer with us. Well, I take that back. It's coming back into the Macy's store. So that's about
it. Oh, it is.
Yeah. And here in the US anyway, there's a little small area for Toys R Us. But yeah, it went away. But we used to go, and my husband and my daughter loved going because my husband collects not toys, but action figures. So, oh, wow.
I know about this. Yep. My husband does as well.
Okay, good. So that was like their thing. They would do it. And so now Toys R Us is no longer around as much. And so that's a song that I know all the words to. I don't know why I love that song so much, but it makes me happy and makes my daughter happy too. She's 11. So I think after like a year or two, she'll probably stop singing it. But yeah, that's what we used to sing together.
I want to be a Toys R Us kid. And I did love Toys R Us. I mean, I spent so much time with the kids. I mean, just for entertainment, we would go those days, like when they're toddlers and we're like going to go get something little at Toys R Us. But it was like an hour outing because they wanted to see everything in the store.
Yes, we would spend each aisle, we would just spend some time in. You're right. Like it wasn't, you could never go on Toys R Us for less than like 30 minutes. Like, unless you were by yourself, but if you're taking a kid in there, forget it.
No, forget it. Forget it. And it was just wall to wall to wall of like so many toys and actually quite some good memories as well going there. It was a lot of fun. I do miss that. I was a little sad when I saw that they went out of business and we were
Amazon and Walmart, they just take over, huh?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, this was just so much fun to take a trip down memory lane and talk about this. And thank you so much for all of your inspiration and your insights. And for those of you who are interested in our book, you can get it on Amazon. Speaking of, you can't get it at Toys R Us, but you can get it at Amazon. And it's called The Happiness of Coaching. And there are 17 authors. Dr. Scott is one of them. I'm one of them. And so many and 15 other amazing women that I can't wait to dive into that book. But it is going to be available for purchase on March the 8th. So this podcast will come out a little bit before that date. But just save the date, guys. March 8th, you can purchase our book.
Yay! Exciting!
Yay! And then in the show notes, you'll know how to get in touch with Dr. Scott. And happy International Women's Month, everybody. Big cheers and claps and all the things for women out there. And I think the more that we can do to support each other, and like Dr. Scott and I were talking before we got on this podcast about the importance of multi-generational, which is a part of your expertise in your practice, is working across many generations. And we were talking about how important not only this is, women are being celebrated this month, and we're really happy about this, of course, but how can we level up? And I was thinking, can we level up by bringing in multi-generations, really appreciating what the young people are saying, me as a Gen Xer, how do I really embrace and appreciate some of the young people coming in, and also how the young people feel heard, but then also looking at some of the young folks out there, which was probably seen as old and obsolete, but we're not. So I think the more that we can bring all voices to the table, that's the best way that we can make change.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I mean, there are so many different phases that a woman goes through, right? And so you start off with the idea of wanting your voice heard and but not sure how to say it because you're so young. You're just like, are people going to like notice me? Or are they going to listen to me? Or do I have an opinion? And there could be some imposter syndrome there too, right? I think that kind of goes throughout our generational time. I remember when I was younger and I was a young psychologist, I never felt as confident as I wanted to be when I was around anyone that had been in a psychologist for longer than me. And I always kind of felt, you know, inferior or intimidated in a way when I was younger. So there's a lot of things that come. And then as I got older, one of the craziest things that I think I told someone, and they were just like, what are you talking about? So when I started my business, I was like, oh, it's too late. Like, I'm too old to start a business. And I was like, I want to say I was 44, 45, or maybe 44.
You were young.
Yes. In a lot of people's eyes, I was young. And they were just like, oh my goodness, I know people who start businesses at like 50, 60, whatever. Like, you're crazy. Why are you saying that? But it was my mindset of thinking like, oh my gosh. And so you start to like, as we know, age is a state of mind. Your physicality definitely shows it, but it's also like a state of mind. And so the one thing that I do appreciate about being over 40 is that I am more confident. And I do have the ability to, if someone doesn't give me a seat at the table, to pull up my own seat and say, oh, I brought a lawn chair in here. I'm going to sit at the table with you anyway, right? Like, and to really navigate just the world a lot better and unapologetically, where I could not be in that space as much when I was in my 20s. People were able to shut me down pretty quickly if I didn't have a strong foundation of what I was believing in. Not to say, like, if you would have met me in my 20s, you probably thought I was a firecracker. But it was a lot of insecurity underneath that firecracker. So I hid it very well, and I didn't really know how to communicate in a way that was going to lead to understanding. It was just kind of just for me a much different space. So I say, like, to appreciate all generations of people, we really just need to make sure we're meeting them where they are and giving them the tools that they need to be successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that goes for each generation is going to need something a little different. For example, the Gen Zs, I'm really excited to see what happens with these Gen Zs because, I mean, I've got a Gen Z son, so they're very much activists. They very much want to make change. And I mean, I remember having a conversation with him and giving him a suggestion on how to manage something. He goes, Mom, that's kind of toxic. And I was like, really? That's toxic. Like, I had to sit there and reevaluate. I'm like, I'm a trained therapist. I was thinking to myself, hey, am I like, so I went back and I had to kind of reflect on what I said. And I love how I just think they're so different and they're so understanding of certain things and they're so introspective and they really, and they call it out. And it's intimidating at times, but then also, I also need to speak to my generation of the Gen Zs or the Gen Xs who do feel sometimes like we're being sent off to pasture, that we no longer. And what's been interesting in this PhD doctorate program that I'm in, I'm studying transdisciplinary, and transdisciplinarity is about looking, it's important as a researcher to know the lens in which we see things. And the lens in which I see is all of my history. So now I'm going back into a deep dive, much like in our therapy training, like, you know how much we had to do deep dive into ourselves to be able to be good therapists. We had That's to really right. know thyself, know what's me and what's not me. And now I feel like I'm going back there again, which has been, it's like actually the perfect time to go back and look at this lens 25 years later, because I have so much, I have been shaped, and some things are distorted because of the things that I've learned along. They're not true. These lenses are false lenses. They need corrective lenses. I say, I need reading glasses for these lenses that these thoughts or distortions that I have that are simply, I'm like, where did I come up with this? Why do I think this is true? I know I'm speaking very, what's the word? I'm esoterically or whatever, but what I'm trying to say is,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. And I think that it's really important. I think our views and baby boomers too, and those beyond that those views are important because you've had so many ways of looking at things and that's important. The history is important. The experiences, that's all learning. That's all learning that we've had all of these years. And we have that wisdom.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's important to share that and help bring up the people that are behind us and to open those doors. And because we do have that wisdom. So it's hopefully we're using that wisely.
Yes.
And not in the opposite way.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this is, we could keep going, but we are not, because I know you've got other things to do. It's your morning. It's my evening, but it's been such a pleasure. Dr. Scott, thank you so much for being on the show today. We know where to find her. They'll be in the show notes. And until next time.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun. And I really appreciate you and everything that you do. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Scott.
Thank you so much for listening. We want to hear from you. First of all, tell us how these totally rad stories have inspired you. If you have a story with an 80s song inspiration, we want to hear it. You think this podcast is like totally tubular? Well, we would love your review. Stay connected with us on Podopolo and download the app today. Visit me at www.patriciafreiberg.com. Thank you, and we look forward to a double boost of inspiration next Motivational Music Monday.